nowadays in Israel. And a lot of that's going to depend on what on earth these people are doing, right? Because it sounds like they don't know any halacha whatsoever, right? It sounds like they're ignorant. So there was this fundamental debate between the Ran and basically everyone else, right? The Ran said, look, there is no way that we can have a Jewish court, which the Mishnah and Sanhedrin recognizes as being halachically effective, where the judges don't know halacha. Can't be, right? So despite all evidence to the contrary, he explains it must be one of the judges is knowledgeable. He'll give some, he'll help guide his colleagues on the court. You know, after all, this guy is like a veteran judge, presumably. So even if he's not, you know, a world master in Choshen Mishpat, he has enough judicial experience. He's picked up, you know, the basic rule of thumb for how things work. You know, my colleague Rabbi Kraft at the Kollel has been, you know, a die in the last few weeks, right? So we got to turn to him and ask what it looks like, you know, live to be a die in training. But the Ran says, you know, this guy's been around for a while, so he can, you know, we'll basically make it work. But there's no way. There is no way that they're not using halacha. Rashi said, you know, I'm sorry, I read the Gemara, and it just sounds like the whole point is that they are not Bikian. Sounds like they don't really know very much, if anything at all. In fact, that's very last time we saw the Yerushalmi, where Reish Lakish said explicitly, we're not dealing with a Jewish legal system. Okay, so that's surprising. So what are we dealing with, right? What are these people doing? And what are they using? So we saw the Rashba, who had a response, right? The Rashba who gets the most chuvas of anybody, I think, in the Rishonim is the Rashba. So one of the many, many, many chuvas he gets from some town in Spain where the people, the question is, look, where we live, Rabbi, no one knows a thing, right? It says, we can't get a judge who knows Aleph Beis, literally, right? Afilu os achas, not even a letter is what's known to the judges in our town, right? So what should we do? So the Rashba writes, you know, first he says this is terrible, and you know, you got to find a way to get, you know, viable judges. But look, the situation that you are in, says the Rashba, this is exactly Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. This is our Kaos Shebesuria. So what do you do? The town selects judges who, you know, they may not know very much, but they're ethical people. They're good, upright, honest individuals. They'll be selected by the town. And that is what the Rashba says, is our Kaos Shebetzuria, right? Well-meaning, good, honest people who seem to be judging just by instinct. The Meiri, who lives at the same time as the Rashba, in fact, they get into a bit of a fight at one point, lives very close, right? He's in southern France. The Rashba is in northern Spain, and the Meiri is in southern France, in Provence. So he comments very similarly on the Gemara. Meiri says, what are these people doing? They're judges who don't know anything, right? They don't know anything. They don't have Torah expertise. So what are they using? They're using omed datam. They're using the best estimate that they can get, you know, common sense, you know, reasonable fairness. And then he also had a couple of words, which are going to be basically the massive fight tonight. The Meiri said they use chukim v'nimusim, laws and customs. Now, what exactly are those laws and customs? Meiri doesn't say. It sounds like, you know, commonplace local regulations, maybe, you know, common business practice. Not very clear what that is exactly. These chukim v'nimusim that the Meiri talks about. Be that as it may, we have a pretty clear consensus, the Rashba, the Meiri, the Rashi, that there's this idea of arkosh b'suri. We can have judges who are judging based on some sort of common sense and something else, even though they don't know very much. And that was codified by the Rama, right? So it's in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama has it in Shulchan Aruch. Now the question is going to be, can this world of our Kaos Shebesuria be carried over to the modern state of Israel? Can we say that the normal prohibition, the very, very strong prohibition against adjudicating in a Gentile court, right? You can't go to our Kaos, you can't go to non-Jewish court, Chil Hashem, we talked about, cursing judges, like three other Isurim we shouldn't talk about. Does that apply when you go to a court of the state of Israel or not? Can we lump it under a Kaos Shebesuri? So let's load up the source sheet. Here we go. So our first person, it took a, I took it. There are some pictures on here. One, but first person to weigh on this is the Chazon Ish, right? Now this picture, this looks like the Chazon Ish we know and love. He's giving a bechina to some poor little kid, right? This looks scary. Wikipedia also has the Chazon Ish's passport photo as a young man. So that's fun fact. Chazon Ish right there. Just couldn't help it. Put that on there. So what does the Chazon Ish have to say? So any bets? Right, where anybody thinks Chazon Ish might come down on this question of the permissibility of adjudicating in an Israeli court. You can even do a thumbs up or thumbs down function, right? I think Chazon Ish is not happy. Chazon Ish is not a fan of going to Israeli court. So let's see, what does he write? Piece is short, piece is sweet. So I'm just going to move over the window of this thing. 1 second. Sorry. What is the Chazon Ish going to say? Sorry. I'm just going to get you guys out of the way. Ah, here we go. Scroll it down. So Chazon Ish is commenting on Sanhedrin, right? And he gets up to the Sugya of Arkao Shebisuria. So he's talking about the halacha. He quotes the Rashba, right? So he quotes that tshuva from the Rashba. He says, you know, what it sounds like the Rashba is talking about judges who do not are not using halacha. I mean, the Chazon Ish says just this line here, mashma ktsas. It sounds a little bit like they're not using Torah law. Rashba sounded like pretty explicit. He said they don't know one letter. So okay, so they're not using Torah law. So can that apply nowadays? So the Chazon Ish, it's not he doesn't like tell you clearly this is what he's doing, but this is what he is doing. So the Chazon Ish says a couple of boundaries here, right? The Rashba said, if you have to, you can use, you know, these other judges don't know anything. He says, well, first of all, right? He says, Muchachem lemhanot bal seichal lefi musrei hadam. They have to appoint people who have, you know, they have seichal, right? They have common sense, and they're using universal human ethics. Einam rasha'im lekabel alehem. They are not allowed to accept upon themselves chukei amim o lechokek chukim. They are not allowed to accept upon themselves laws of the nations or to establish their own laws. Right? So the Chazon Ish says the case that the Rashba allowed. You're right. Begrudgingly, we have to surprisingly admit that there's a case where we're allowing judges to not use Torah law. They don't know anything else. But says the Chazon Ish, if you look at what the Rashba actually allowed, they were only using their own common sense. They're not bringing in other systems of law, and they're not certainly not making up law by themselves. Just a second, I'm just going to close this because it's making noise. Right. They're not allowed to use other systems of law. Why? So the Rashba explains, the Chazon Ish explains, because why are they allowed to do this in the first place? He says, what's the mechanism allowing people to use non-halacha to adjudicate a case? He says, Zeo bichlal pshara. What's the principle that's being used by the Zayajus who don't know anything? Arbitration, compromise. Gemara, in the very beginning of Sanhedrin, talks about pshara. Assuming it's done well, it's even better than din. It's even better than formal judgment. If we can get the two sides to agree to an arbitration, modern batei din, that's what they try to do almost all the time. So argues the Chazon Ish, if the whole mechanism that's allowing these arkaos shebisuria, who are not using halacha, is pshara, is compromise, then that has to come, he says, from their own ethics. You know, I'll get you in a room, I'll get him in a room, we'll put them together, we'll figure out some ethical way that everyone can go home and be happy, right? However, he continues, if you use some other system, or you make formal laws, right, that they're going to have to study in law school, so then that's going to be a disaster. Because otherwise, you don't recognize that they're leaving the source of water, right, to dig empty wells. That's another line from the Rashba, right, that they are abandoning halacha, right? Otherwise, you're in Arkaos territory. And he says, "Im yismuchu al chukim, if you're relying, yaskimu al chukim, if they come up with formal laws, then that is totally prohibited. Arehim mechalim es haTorah." He says, that's exactly what the Gemara prohibits when it says, you're not allowed to go to non-certified Bate Din. So Chazon Ish has a very clear line on this, and it really makes a lot of sense, right? Because he says, look, basically, the leniency in the Gemara itself was surprising enough, right? That you could go to these judges in Syria. Remember, the Ran like bent over backwards to try to minimize what you were being allowed to do. And he said, really, there's a judge there who knows the halacha, right? That doesn't seem to be the case, right? The Rashi didn't think so. Rashi, Meiri, etc. But says the Chazon Ish, at minimum, it has to be using some other known mechanism of adjudication in a Beis Din. So they're using pshara. They're using compromise. And if they either bring in other laws, right? So if the Rashbas, let's say ignorant judges, wanted to use some Spanish, you know, medieval Spanish regulations, Chazon Ish would say that's totally usur, right? Because now you've left the world of pshara and you've entered the world of using Gentile law. That is the Chazon Ish's take. So Chazon Ish, with, you know, modern Israeli courts for the Chazon Ish, completely usur, because obviously, right, you go to law school, right? There certainly is Israeli law. So says the Chazon Ish, we're done. There's nothing to talk about. Okay, so it's still got time left, right? So it's not the end of the shiur. So, you know, there's going to be some pushback. So let's see. It's going to be some very, very interesting back and forth from some of the great rabbanim and professors of the 1900s. So let's scroll down for 1 second. So the person, basically everyone is going after, is Professor Menachem Elon, right? Supreme Court judge, author of HaMishpat HaEvri, three-part book right here that I found in YU. Wikipedia also has his class in the Chavron Yeshiva, I think in like 1940 or something. That's him right there, right? So, you know, you see the resemblance between the Yeshiva picture and the Supreme Court picture. I don't know, but if we trust Wikipedia, that's him. Right, they knew how to dress back there. Look at that. We got to bring back those collars, you know. So anyway, right. So Professor Elon, right, Rabbi Professor Elon, born in Germany, Talmud Chacham, jurist, spent a lot of work trying to, you know, figure out ways to bring halachic sources into the Israeli legal world. So you know, he has like pages and pages and pages where he discusses this problem. But the core piece is actually 3 lines long, right? How on earth are we going to allow bringing other legal systems in to replace halachic adjudication, right? And like Israeli law is actually, we'll see, talked about soon, right? We're using, you know, Ottoman law, we're using British law, certainly not using Choshen Mishpat, right? So why on earth is that going to be acceptable? So Professor Elon argues, and he says, well, you know, let's see, right? Is the Chazon Ish's claim that you can't use any official legal system really going to hold up according to the Rishon? Well, he says, let's see. Yir'esh ledas hami'iri ein hadavar kein. Says, right, Chazon Ish was only quoting to you the Rashba, but the Chazon Ish was not quoting the Me'iri, right? Now, why not? So he continues, because what are the Me'iri, right? Sherei hu magish b'mefurash, the Me'iri emphasized explicitly, danin lefi omer hadas, right? They judge according to their own, you know, estimation, which is just like what the Chazon Ish was describing, right? Common sense, etc. Uvchukim v'nimusim, but these laws and these customs. So he says it's black on white from the Rishonim. Hainu lo rak lefi anir lehem. They're not only using their own instincts, right? Meiri didn't just write danin lefi omer hadas. You know, ink and paper are not cheap in the Middle Ages, right? Meiri could have just stopped right here. Why do you need to add those two words? Chukim v'nimusim, laws and customs. So the professor then argues, "Ad lefi chukim v'nimusim misudarim u'mekubalim." Clearly, the Meiri's talking about laws, right, regulations and customs which are organized and accepted, common practice, right? You come into Perpignan, right, which is, I don't know how that's the proper pronunciation, but that's where the Meiri lived in Provence, right? And then, you know, you go to the local courts over there, And they have all sorts of, you know, rules and regulations and customs, etc. And, you know, these judges that we're putting in here, maybe Amaratzim, but they know the local ordinances, you know, and the like. And that is exactly, sounds like it's exactly what the Me'iri is allowing. So, argues Professor Ilon, if the Me'iri says that Arkosh of Asuria are allowing the local ordinances in Provence in the 1300s, so why can't we also allow, you know, the local ordinances in Israel in 1950, whatever, right? When this is being argued back and forth, right? It's hard to set up. You know, you can imagine all the claims. It's hard to set up a modern comprehensive Besdin system, right? So, you know, maybe you could argue it's like the equivalent of the Rashba situation. In order to have a functioning society, the argument might go, you know, we need to adopt this legal system. Or maybe, and this might get a little more dicey, right? A majority of the population will never sign up for a pure Choshen Mishpat system. So this is the best we can get. So, you know, how different is it from the Rashba? The Rashba said it's not realistic to have good judges because the people are ignorant. In Israel, it's not realistic to have halachic judges because, you know, a bunch of the population is not going to sign on to it, right? So why, in that situation, why can't we use the Israeli legal system, right? And just base it on the Me'iri, who sounds very much against what the Chazon Ish was describing. Chazon Ish was saying from the Rashba, they can only use common sense, right? Says Professor Ilon, you know, the Me'iri says they can use local regulations. So that is the core debate in this area. Now, as you might predict, in terms of the Psak, it's going to get a little lopsided, right? The Professor Ilon is not going to do well. But we should appreciate, you know, we should appreciate the argument. We should also appreciate that, like, imagine what the Rashba and the Me'iri would think, you know, if they saw this Machlokas, you know, like 700 years later, like the Me'iri, you know, where people are getting kicked out of Provence when he's living there, right? It's like now a few hundred years later, there's like this debate about, you know, the modern state of Israel and what can be applied and not. Like, it's kind of amazing to think about it. The Professor Ilon has a point, I think, in his read of the Me'iri. You have to wonder, do we paskin like the Me'iri, right? Like, it doesn't happen so often. And how can this apply to Israel, where Baruch Hashem, we do have many Talmidei Chacham. So one of the people actually who led the pushback against the Professor Ilon was Rav Herzog, right? The first Ashkenazi chief rabbi of the state of Israel, who we're gonna see another piece from him at the end of this year. But he did not like this idea at all. He was sympathetic, I think, in certain areas to some of Professor Ilon's projects, but regarding the claim that Israeli court would not have the status of Arkaos, that would be, you know, that they would not be like Gentile courts, rather they would be the equivalent of these Arkaos of Asuria, he fights back pretty intensely. We'll look at one argument he has now, and then we'll look at one other argument he has at the end of this year, because he has one argument at the end, which I think is pretty fun. But so what does he write over here, source number 3? Herzog says, look, even if I assume that Professor Ilon is correct, that we paskin like the Me'iri, right? Remember, the Rashba only talked about common sense. The Me'iri talked about these mysterious chukim v'nimusim. So the writer of Herzog, you know, we have to ask, me'eze makor shavu? Where exactly did these laws and customs come from, right? So we'll look at what he has to say and then think about it for a minute. He says, you know, did it come from Roman law, you know, Roman Syrian law? Is that what we're talking about? Right, in the Akar Shabasuria. Well, it's very hard to believe, very hard to imagine that the Gemara was allowing the Arkosh of Asuria to use, you know, the Roman Codex, right? A Codex HaRomai HaSuri. Is that what the Gemara was really allowing them to use, right? They're using, you know, like Hadrian's Code, you know, like he takes a break from massacring Bnei Israel to write a law code, and that's what they're going to use in the Arkosh. Like, am I supposed to believe that's the case, argues of Herzog? You know, putting a few words in his mouth, but not too many. He says, come on. That is his nichu Torah Moshe. That is abandoning Torah Moshe. You know, if it's like, what's the point you're making? He's saying, we can sanitize what's happening here, basically, by looking at the current Israeli legal system. You know, there's a big menorah on the front of the book, and it's in Hebrew, you know, and all sorts of nice things. Look, the system, what you're claiming, that we can use local law, ultimately assumes that the Arkosh of Assyria were using Roman law, and you think that's the Gemara thought was okay. Roman law. There's no way. No way that you could ever use Roman law that the Gemara would have ever signed on to doing that. He says, what does it have to be? Mistaber shekavanasohi shetiknu le'atzmam. He says, what did the Me'iri mean? The Me'iri said they were using, you know, rules and customs. He means rules and customs that they made for themselves. Shetiknu le'atzmam al pi sechlam levav. Right? It was according to their common sense, right? We will decide, you know, what to do in situations X, Y, and Z. Drachim uklalim mishpatiyim. They had general, you know, general rules, general principles. Not that they drew it from the surrounding Gentile society. That's not the meaning he's talking about at all, writes Rav Herzog. The chukim v'nimusim are internal chukim v'nimusim. It's internal laws and customs and traditions that these local, ignorant Jewish judges are using for themselves, right? So even if, right, says Rav Herzog, even if Professor Elon is correct, that will Paskin like the Me'iri, that you could use more than just your instinct on the spot, right? There's also some sort of formal laws that are being used. And the Me'iri never said it's Chukim v'nimusim shel hagayim. He just said Chukim v'nimusim. And that's because there's no way that he could be talking about Gentile law. That's where Rav Herzog writes. So, you know, I mean, it's a powerful argument, right? Like, how on earth could the Gemara allow Roman law? But, you know, I think Professor Elon would respond, look, you know, like the Gemara says, Ein ladayin elamash in avros, right? A judge can only go by what he sees, right? I see the Me'iri, and I see the Me'iri just says laws and customs. Come on, you pull three ignorant Jews off the street, you know, and you point them as judges. Am I supposed to think that it's clear that the Jews who are being appointed as town, you know, judges are sitting there like Hammurabi developing their own, you know, laws all the time? Like, come on, they're it makes a lot of sense that they're just importing, you know, the local surrounding custom and tradition and regulation, etc. Right. So that's Rav Herzog's first response. Right. Who says that the chukim v'nimusim means they're absorbing Gentile law? Maybe it means it's their own stuff. Okay. Right. That's a debate. Okay. So now there's another question here. I'm not sure I put these in the order I did, but right, even if we grant that one could, that the let's assume for a second, right? Let's assume that the Arkos Sheb Assyria were indeed using non-Jewish law, right? Let's read the Me'iri the way Professor Elon wanted to read it, right? They were in Syria. They had to use these alternative systems. And they were using local Roman tradition or whatever, right? Against the Chazanish and against the Herzog. It's still not obvious at all that we should apply that to the modern state of Israel, because let's think of the Rashba's question, right? Rabbi, nobody here knows a word of Hebrew, right? So in Yerushalayim, right, where there's a yeshiva every other block, we're going to say that the same situation applies and you don't have to go to Beis Din. You can go to the Arkosh Yisrael, right? Are we really going to make that claim? So Rav Herzog thinks absolutely not. Rav Herzog says this is a joke, right? And in source number five, he says, you know, at any rate, like, come on, this whole thing is only in a place where there are no B'nai Torah, right? Eretz Yisrael, right? Baruch Hashem, B'nai Torah, Yirei Shemayim, Kein Yirbu, right? He's writing this, you know, 60 years ago. Baruch Hashem, it has been a Kein Yirbu. So even if our kosher basuria means what Professor Elon said that it meant, right? That they're using local non-Jewish law because they don't have anything else. So it says at Herzog, yeah, because they don't have anything else, right? So like that's a pretty devastating claim. It's a very devastating claim. So how's he going to fight back? So happens to be, Professor Elon is not alone. No pun intended. In this area, Rav Goren argues against Rav Herzog in this on this point. And Rav Goren, very surprisingly, but I think we'll read the source that he shows, and it's like once he points it out, it seems like he's right. Argues that actually, it seems like Makoros were allowing Arko Shabasuria even where there were Talmid Chacham. So let's see. It's like it's kind of unbelievable, but you know, it's like the arrow in the FedEx sign. Like once he points it out, it's hard to avoid. So Rav Goren says over here, right? So you know, the Urim V'Tumim, that's the Rav Yonah Sanaibishitz, right? So the Urim V'Tumim, that's a massive commentary on the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, right? Written like 250 years ago or so. So he says, you're right. You know, Urim V'Tumim said explicitly, you know, long before this was like realistic in Israel, obviously, that you could only use Darko Shebesuria in a place where they were ignorant, right? The case that the Rashba was describing and the case that sounded like what the Gemara was describing, right? You know, we have yeshivas in Bavel, we have yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. Syria is like flyover country, right? There's like nobody there who's learning. So there they had to use, you know, whatever Nevuch judges they could get, right? So Rios and Ibishet says that explicitly, you know, Belkam Sha'in Bo Lom De Torah, right? The only place where no one knows how to learn, right? But a place where you do have people who know how to learn, Chas V'Shalom, Limnos Dayanim Chasire Mada, right? God forbid, you know, a place where you have many yeshiva graduates, right, and real expert judges, that you would appoint these Arkal Shabasuri instead, right? And then the Urmatum goes off, right? How terrible that is. That, I think, is the instinctive view, the view that makes the most sense, right? That's what the Rav Yonah Sanaibishitz says, Urim V'Tumim. That's what Herzog wants to say, right? But says Rav Goren, not so sure that is the universal view, right? So he says, first of all, you know, the good old Me'iri, right? Let's go back to that old Me'iri, right? The Chukim V'Nimusim Me'iri, laws and customs. He says, you know, says that just contradicts this whole approach. Because what else did the Me'iri write? All the Me'iri said was, if the people accept them, ilu kiblum kol bnei hamedina, right? If the people accept them, says the Me'iri, then they can serve. Didn't give any other conditions, right? So, okay, that's interesting. How much can you make out of a Me'iri? What to think about? But then Rav Goren continues, and he says, let's look at the Shulchan Aruch, right? And he says, Game harama lo mashmakin. If you take a careful look at the Ramah, it sounds like he is paskening that, in theory, the Arkal Shebesuria could always have authority. Really? What does the Ramah write? Sherei kasav mikodem, the Ramah wrote earlier. Here's the quote. The ayaros she'in behem chachamim haroyim liyos dayanim. Cities that do not have, you know, sages who are eligible to be judges, etc. Right, etc. So they appoint the good and the wise. Fine. So that's unexciting. All the Ramah said here was judges, cities that do not have eligible sages. Right. So that's not what we're talking. That's our whole point. Right. Herzog is saying we're in a place that does have chachamim haruim. But says Rav Goren, at the end, the Ramah said uvasof kasav. Bechein kol tzibur, every community, yecholin lekabel aleihem bezdin, right? They can accept upon themselves a court. She'einam ru'uyim min ha-Torah. They can accept upon themselves a court that is not fit according to Torah law, right? So they're not judging with Shechosh Mishpat. They're just using the Arkos Shebesuria principle. Finishes of Goren, mashma af kishyesh b'neim talmidei chachamim. Right, sounds like the Ramah at the end of the day is saying this across the board. Any community, right, can appoint them, right? Which, like, surprising, but that what it sounds like. So I'm just going to bring up the Ramah's, the original Ramah from last time to see if that actually fits with what he said. Let's just scroll down for a second. Here's the Shonah. Here's the Ramah. Right? So the Ramah says, cities that don't have Chachamim, right? Or they're, oh, Kul and Ame Aretz, they're all ignorant. So, right? So they can, we don't want them going to Gentile courts. So it says the Ramah, those places, they don't have people who know what they're doing. So you just get the best of the people, right? And then they'll be the judges. And then the Ramah says at the end, likewise, any community can accept upon themselves a Beis Din who is not eligible. Right? That's from the Rashba. So the question in this Ramah is this two totally different sentences, right? You can't, you have to, if you have to have judges, you know, you don't want people going to the Arkos, so, you know, use the other judges if need be. And if another community want any, who in that whatever situation wants, they can appoint whoever they want. That's how Gordon is reading it, right? Two different statements. You know, the other way to read it is, no, the Ramah is just saying one running comment, right? Yeah, look, any community, you know, who has problems with their judges, judge availability, can appoint our co-host. But, you know, no way would the Ramah allow you to use the lousy judges if you had an alternative. You'd like to say that second one, but it's really not so clear, right? Like, why did the Ramah have to write this extra line? Rogoran says right here, he's allowing, if the community accepts it, I don't know if we're happy the community accepts it, but if the community accepts it, says Rogoran, sounds like the Ramah is signing off. So you have, right, I guess, a Professor Lohan and Rogoran against Rav Herzog, right? Now, someone's going to come to Rav Herzog's aid, and that is Rav Avadia. We have two sources left. We're going to look at one piece from Rav Avadia, and then one piece we'll finish off with the conclusion from Rav Herzog, which is a very fun point, I think, right? So Rav Avadia, Yosef, right? I'm not sure when this was written. The volume, the Yechava Das volume is from 1981, but I'm not sure when this actual tshuva is from. So he goes off. He is not happy with this at all. He's like, you know, I'm hearing, you know, rumors that there are people running around who are permitting you to go to the Israeli court. Right? I'm hearing rumors that people are saying that now that the judges are Jewish, you know, and the government has given them authority. So, you know, Dina de Malchusa Dina, right? Which we talked about. And it should be allowed. So says Ravadia, Hevel Yiftse PM Luchachmi Yaskiluzos. Right? They are garbage is coming out of their mouths, and I wish they would wisen up a little bit because then they could understand this. And Ravadia says that you have totally the wrong perspective, right? Which is worse? You know, The Rashba's case where they're in medieval Spain and there's a hostile government and people don't know anything and they're using, you know, the Arkosha Basuria or the state of Israel, right? So Ravadia says it's even worse now than it had been before to use non-Torah judges. Says the judges up on the Israeli Supreme Court, Shoftim Yehudim, they're obligated halachically to judge according to the Torah, right? You know, so it's like far worse in a sense. You know, it's one thing for like the local Spanish court. What kind of statement does it make about halacha? It's a very interesting claim, right? What's a worse statement, right? To go to a non-Jewish court or to go to a Israeli secular court? Which is a bigger offense to Torah? So, you know, Rav Avadia says the latter, right? Because it's like even worse that the judges should be, you know, in Choshen Mishpat land, and yet they're not, right? So he thinks like not only is it, you know, not acceptable, he says actually this is more problematic, and he quotes Tzvi Pesach Frank, who has a tshuva I'm pretty sure to Professor Elon actually, who, you know, was trying to get support for allowing this halachically, right? He did not approve. So at the end of the day, you know, bottom line, You're using a non-Torah legal system. Like, that's exactly what the prohibition was, right? You're abandoning halacha for something else, right? I don't care if there's arkos, shibisuri, or whatever. Like, come on. We have the ability to put in a bezdin, right? How on earth can we not do it, right? And he says the same thing. He says also, this situation, it's worse. It's more egregious to not go to a bezdin in this situation, right? Because, like, we have a whole Jewish state. We have a Jewish state that's not using Jewish law, like Rahman al-Islam, right? Right, what are they using instead? They're using Hamajla Shel Ha'Otumanim, right? Like, they're using Ottoman law instead, like Ranshal. So, you know, see, that's a Frank, Rad Yosef, totally not happy at all, right? Rav Gorin trying to back it up a little bit. And it's like an interesting machlokas, right? Because, like, you know, instinct and common sense, what they're saying over here, like, resonates very much. The logic of it is really powerful, right? Our Gentile courts is such a severe prohibition because it is such a statement about, you know, when we say, you know, v'yatziv v'nachon shachras every morning, right? We say that, you know, kayom la'ad, that halacha is everlasting and everlastingly relevant, right? So what, we have a Jewish country and, like, we throw that out the window. Right, like that is such a more offensive statement about what we really think push comes to shove is the relevance of Torah, right? Than, you know, what we dealt with in the Gullus for the last 2,000 years. That's exactly what they're saying. On the other hand, right, the counter view is, you know, hey, look, you know, if I look very carefully at some of the Makaros and I read the Ramah, it sounds like, you know, it's not easy to put in a halachic legal system. And it sounds like there's a lot of leeway for coming up with an alternative. So that's this machlokas, you know, that you have. Two different sides and two different perspectives, and I think it's really fascinating. So the last source to look at is an article in a journal, HaTorah V'Hamdina, that Rav Herzog wrote, and this is in 1956. So this is really fascinating. Rav Herzog says, let's look, right, so the country is what? It's 8 years old. Right. So he says nowadays, as we look at the new state of Israel, so he says we have four problems, right? There are four basic problems that we have to deal with when we look at Israel from a religious perspective in 1956. This problem number one is Shmira Shabbos. Problem number two is Kashrus. Problem number three is Choshen Mishpat, our whole topic. And problem four is, right, weddings and divorce. You know, I think two interesting points. One, it's interesting what's not on here. I think if this had been written, you know, anytime in the last, for sure, 20 years, conversion would be on this list, right? But conversion is not on the top four that Rav Herzog has in 1956. And I think it's surprising but really important for us that Choshen Mishpat makes the grade, right? The other three are very much still hot button controversial issues, you know, in Israel, right? I mean, Shabbos, buses, et cetera, weddings, divorce, you know, that's going on forever. You know, Kashrus and, you know, Rabbanud and Mahadrin, blah, 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 right? Those were huge then and they're huge now. And anybody knows that. I think it's not at all obvious to put Choshen Mishpat on that list. And I think it's very important that he does so, right? Because it is very clear that the whole message behind, you know, the prohibition against Gentile court, that we have a Jewish country, first time in 2,000 years, we have a Jewish country. What would Rashi and the Meiri and the Rashba and the Ran and the Ramah all say if they saw that we now had Jewish sovereignty and we were not putting in any halachic relevance to that, right? We might be inured to that, but Rav Herzog in 1956 says this is completely horrible. We have to do whatever we can, right? You know, we saw like one point he made, right, where he said, you know, look, we have the people power, right? We have the Talmidei Chachamim available, but he makes one other point in here, which I think is you know, really interesting. He says, what is the legal system that is being used instead? Right, remember, he's writing in 1956, you know, and he was around in the 30s, you know, he was around with the white paper, he was around with the British. He says, what's the legal system that's being used. It says we're using the legal system from HaMemshala HaMandatorit Mishpat Zar. Right? We're using the British mandate, right? We're using the laws of the British. Zo Shebagda Banu Batchila Baseter, right? The British who betrayed us at first in secret, Ve'acharkach Bigalui, and then they betrayed us openly, right? And they sent the Arab armies, you know, they encouraged the Arab armies against us. And, you know, you have the Jordanians who are being commanded by British troops, right? You know, they tried to wipe us out. That is a legal system that we are going to use, right? So, like, it's just a totally different piece to the whole thing, right? Like, let's think about the legal system we're using. If you have sensitivity, not just as a halachic Jew, right? Not just the problems that the Chazon Ish has and that Rav Avadya has, right, we're the, and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, we're abandoning Torah for something else. And Rav Herzog, let's think, if you have sensitivity to the sources we're using instead, you know, earlier in the Shir, we talked about, you know, Rome, right? Rav Herzog is like, could we imagine that they were using Roman law? Like, no way. Well, the Brits were not so great to us either, right? So, you know, you're in such a rush to use their law. Like, come on, where is your... This is the ethical sensitivity of these people is what you want. Very, very interesting piece that he throws in here, right? And then he says one last thing. It's like, you know, and if you talk to any, you know, anybody who deals with Israeli law, so they'll have this complaint all the time. It's a mess. The whole system is a mess. He says, you know, v'zeo kvar mi b'li ledaber. That's without talking al mahut hamishpat hakayam. You want to talk about the essence of the current system, which is like a suit talaim agave talaim. It's like piles and piles, right? It's a mess. Chuk Briti, right? There's British law, agave, you know, chuk Turkey. There's, you know, piled on auto. It's a balagan, right? So you want a system, you want a balagan system, right? Established by the enemies of Klal Yisrael. That's the path that you are choosing to base the state upon. He's horrified. And he puts that on the same level as Shabbos and Kashrus and weddings and divorce as something that he wants to fix, right? He says, "Afilu in Britannia haita tofeset et mekomo shel Koresh," right? Even if Britain was great, right? Even if they were Koresh instead of the exact opposite, "Afilu mayah mishpat hanidon kulo machmadim," and even if, you know, it was a wonderful legal system, right? Even if legal scholars, you know, walked in, looked at it, and they're like, "Wow, this is beautiful, streamlined, unified, logical system," you know, well, not a world where it said this is a total joke and a total mess. He says, anyway, you know, we'd have the problem of abandoning Torah, right? So he says, you know, like very, very strongly, Aleph Pe'amim Garua, right? This is like 1,000 times worse. He's like, if appreciate the moment, have sensitivity to the moment that we're in right now. Am Yisrael be'artzo, right? We are in our land. It's 1956. It is a new country. Batur shekazeh dan alpi chukim zarim. And we're using alien law. Hamibli ein Elokim v'Yisrael, right? Do we not have any God, etc.? So, right? It's like this really, really interesting debate, right? And you look at it from a pragmatic perspective. What can we get off the ground? And that's what Professor Ilon is saying, right? How much can we get in? Minimal. So we'll try to get as much halacha in the system as we can. But just like in Syria, they didn't have the judges. Now we don't have the ability. So we'll do the best we can. But there's, you know, a very strong basis in the Me'iri and the Ramah, if we look carefully enough, to find it, to authorize what we're doing, right? And then the response from Rav Herzog and from Rav Avadya and Tzvi Pesach Frank is, you know, basically, it's not a moment for pragmatism. It's a moment for idealism, right? And Rav Herzog in particular, you know, this is like the moment of idealism, right? Hakamat Hamdina, like, you know, we have a state. So how could this be the moment where we choke up at the bat, right? And I think that exact machloka is a very, very live one, right? Coming to grips with what it means to be in a modern, you know, state of Israel and all the complications that comes with it. And at the same time, trying to preserve the, you know, romanticism and the energy and that spark of inspiration that a Jewish state should have, right? It's that balance that we're still wrestling with to this very day, Baruch Hashem, right? That we have the opportunity to have this machlokas. But I think this is like absolutely fascinating. So we'll stop. we'll stop here. And then, you know, so we'll break next week. And then after Hanukkah, we'll come back and we'll really dig into some intra-Jewish topics. So thanks everyone for coming, and Mr. Shem, I'll see you soon.